Right, you are listening to Green Left Radio, and on the phone we have Annette Bramley, who is the chairperson of the Independent and Peaceful Australian Australia Network. So, good morning, Annette.
Good morning, Jacob.
So, Annette, we have you on the program today because IPAN kind of recently sent a media release essentially condemning Australia's hosting of US kind of war games. And basically, I wanted to kind of give you, can you give us a bit of a kind of an explanation and a summary of that kind of situation and what exactly this kind of US war games entails in the region?
Yeah, sure. Well, obviously, as a network of organisations who are looking towards independence for Australia and a peaceful independence, we're very concerned about the saber exercises that happen on the Queensland coast every couple of years. They alternate with another major US-led military exercise around the waters of Hawaii called RIMPAC or Rim of the Pacific. So, you know, what we see happening is, in fact, a massive build-up of military activity and international forces across the Pacific and the Western Pacific and Southeast Asian area. And we're very concerned that that this is part of the process of building up to a potential war with China, which I know that sounds ridiculous to even say it because it's so unthinkable. However, all the indicators are there that this is what is happening with the leadership of the United States, but involving Australia very heavily.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, it's all part of the Pacific pivot, which in fact was why IPAN formed almost 10 years ago now when President Obama at the time, along with Julia Gillard, announced the intention for Australia to host a permanent force of US Marines in Darwin.
Well, there's a kind of two kind of aspects I sort of want to cover, but I'll cover them in two separate kind of questions. I guess I kind of want to hear a bit more of a kind of elaboration on the question, I guess, around war against China and what are some of the other sort of developments, I guess, that has happened in terms of in this movement from the Australian government that also kind of pivots towards, I guess, this kind of direction.
Yeah, sure. Like many of your listeners might know or may not know that the 2,500 Marines in Darwin was just a very thin edge of the wedge because since that time of the announcement, we've now seen Air Force facilities built up in Darwin and south of Darwin at Tyndall Air Base, at Amberley outside of Brisbane, at the air base outside of Newcastle. So it's not just stationing of a few Marines here to work with the United States if the remote possibility that we went to war against an enemy in our region. In the past, that enemy really wasn't named, but they're quite open now that it is about China. Mm. And right at this very moment, we've got a crowded Pacific. We have naval vessels just about from everywhere on the planet. We, you know, the United Kingdom has sent naval vessels in to the South China Sea most recently, but those naval vessels will be stationed off the coast of Japan permanently. We've had naval vessels from Canada, from France, from New Zealand, from Australia, all passing through the South China Sea, the so-called freedom of navigation, which is really an incredible provocation to China. And if that was happening, I mean, we get alarmed because we've got a couple of surveillance Chinese ships off the coast of Queensland while these Talisman and Sabre exercises are underway. You know, imagine what it's like. You know, the reaction that you get from China is quite understandable when you've got all these vessels on their coastline.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I could go on. I mean, there is, you know, obviously a strategy to build capacity to attack China from a range of countries, from Australia, but also from Philippines, from Guam, from Okinawa, from South Korea, So you've got this very alarming situation.
Yeah. And going back to, I guess, the hosting of the Talisman Sabre war games, because the war practice, because one of the things you mentioned in terms of basically the impact, basically its impact on how it will negatively impact and risk this kind of spread of COVID-19, because I guess just one comment I kind of want to add, it's sort of blows kind of my mind that this event that where thousands of foreign troops are apparently going to be flying into kind of our shores, when the government is kind of regularly going on about how we have to close the borders, we can't, you know, risk we have to keep capping the numbers of returning Australians, and of course generally, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, many community groups, many organisations have had to actually cancel events, including, I mean, even sports, sporting events have had to be cancelled as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. So I kind of want to hear, like, how does the government actually justify hosting this, something that involves thousands of foreign troops coming into the country, to participate in this this kind of spectacle, and you know, that just reflects a lot of hypocrisy and a real double standard from our own government.
Sure does, Jacob. Yeah, we learnt just recently that the 8,000 American troops that are here, now there are 17,000 altogether participating in this Talisman Sabre exercise, but a lot of the naval personnel, I suppose, actually stay on naval vessels, but Brisbane's hotels were used to provide the quarantining for a large number of the those foreign troops entering Australian territory. And at the same time, we had the Queensland Premier talking about capping re-entry of Australians because there's not enough room in the hotels for hotel quarantining. So yeah, it is incredibly hypocritical, and the Australian people probably don't actually know too much about that. So COVID is a good reason for it not to happen at all, but more importantly, the reason for it not to happen at all is because of what it means for our foreign policy, what it means for the environment. You know, the track record of Talisman Sabre is very poor. I don't know where Migaloo, the white whale, is right now. I think he was spotted off the coast of Victoria in May. So there's a good chance that he's made his way up to those same waters that maritime naval exercises are happening on. You know, you have huge environmental issues around sonar, that are around dropping bombs, even if they're not loaded for explosion. But, you know, this is unthinkable when the reef is, you know, on the endangered list, and we're allowing this to happen around the Great Barrier Reef. You know, it's crazy that we've got Susan Lee going to Europe to try and convince them not to take it any further in terms of the characterisation of the reef when they allow this to happen.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think it. I think that you raise, I guess, a really kind of important point around the actual environmental destruction or the actual environmental waste that will be incurred as a result of this event essentially going ahead. And I guess I want to kind of hear just the one other kind of aspect is, what do you kind of think about the implications of this in terms of our, you know, this kind of military kind of build-up in relation to sort of our relationship with the Pacific?
It's a really good point that you raised, Jacob, because, again, we have Morrison treating the Pacific nations as if they're his, you know, children, a very paternalistic approach to our foreign policy with the people of the Pacific, who have suffered incredibly as a result of militarism in the past. I don't know whether you're aware of it, but just a few days ago, 1,000 people protested, demonstrated en masse in Tahiti, tiny little Tahiti, about the French Pacific nuclear tests, the Polynesian tests, over 50 years ago. And, this is ongoing, the militarisation of the Pacific. You know about, you know, the nuclear dump on the Marianas Islands that is at risk of breaking open as a result of rising sea levels. We've got Guam now experiencing the operation, they call it Operation Pacific Iron, this one that's going on at the moment. One of our colleagues in Guam was telling us about how that's incessant, the F-22s. It's the most F-22s that have been used around Guam in their memory. So, you know, this is this. We are playing into this build-up of the U.S. military forces going along with it in the Pacific. Now, ITAN has recently formed and part of a Pacific Peace Network, so we're working very closely with our Pacific neighbours on this. And this is the sort of thing that should be happening, actually, in a general sense from our government. Instead of working with the United States to build up the military, we should be working with our Pacific neighbours, our Southeast Asian neighbours, on cooperation around the genuine security issues that we face: climate change, pandemics, inequality, the lack of educational opportunities for children in many parts of the world that we live in. So this is the positive side of what we should be doing instead of falling into the trap of just being the lackey of the United States where we live.
Yeah. Well, I think you kind of raised a lot of kind of good points. And I guess we're kind of running out a bit of time kind of now. I guess, do you have any kind of final comments to make, like basically answering how people can raise awareness about this issue? Because this is actually an issue that really isn't necessarily being reported in the mainstream media at all. There's no kind of outrage about it. While there's always plenty of the media always likes, as I sort of alluded to, the media likes to pop up a lot of outrage for even quite menial things in the context of this kind of COVID-19 pandemic, like this one, like this individual's been irresponsible during the pandemic. But then we have this a clear case of our federal government being irresponsible in the midst of a health pandemic, and no one's actually talking about it. So,
yeah, sure. Look, I think it's important for your listeners to realise that the only way we're going to see change happen is if there is a groundswell from the community. I encourage everyone who's got concerns about this to ring your parliamentarian, your local parliamentarian today. Our parliament's not sitting, so they're in their electorate offices today. And to think about joining IPAN, you know, we need more people to be working together, and the only way to do that is through organisations, whether it's a local environment group, a political group or a party that you want to be part of. But go to the IPAN website, ipan.org.au, and join IPAN. Form a local group where you are. This is the only way we're really going to affect change, because we've got a bipartisan agreement between the two major parties to support the alliance with the United States. I might add, we're coming up to the 70th anniversary of the ANZUS alliance, which is far more than a military alliance. It's an ideological relationship with the politics of the United States. It's time we ended that relationship.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Annette. It's been a very important and informative discussion we've just had. So, yeah, thank you very much for being on our program.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much for hosting this. It is such an important issue.
Okay.